It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Trump-tanic Tuesday, the 17th day of March 2020. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Aaron Gabra, Fagora, such like. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is, I don't know, day whatever of seemingly endless coronavirus coverage. I mean, it's just what's dominating the news. But what a wonderful conversation with Dan and Helene last night. That was the that was just magic. It truly is. It demonstrates what can happen when conversation radio works like it's supposed to. Let's see. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so, thanks go out to our 17th of the month subscribers. That would mean thanks to Laborman and Nancy. Thank you both very kindly. And thanks to Lady B for getting us started this evening. So as far as the fundraising goal for the evening is concerned, we are at $515, which means that, well, we're 170 behind. No, 165. No, we're 115 behind from last week, and then yesterday and today. And I know how hard things are and are going to get for folks. And like I said, we'll just keep this going as long as we possibly can. Speaking of Lady B, I had a note from her earlier. Dude, they're fighting over whether or not America should be paid to stay home to stem the epidemic. Man, I'd be happy to just fucking get at least 2 weeks worth of pay if I have to sit at home. Every little bit it helps. They need to do something. I was out and about and I had to go to the bank. And I had to pick up just a few more things for me and my sister. The stores are virtually empty. This could be bad for us financially. Forget about the physical illness. When the fuck are we going to get our shit together and realize it's about the people and not about the money? You can't make money without people to spend it. Take care of your own people, America. And continues... with regard to a story from the Washington Post, the U.S. Health Department's reported the largest number of coronavirus-related deaths on any one day yesterday. But the Washington Post is making its coronavirus coverage free for a limited time. And Lady B says, so yeah, Jeff is allowing his paper to do the right thing and start putting out some articles for free. This is good and incredibly helpful. After all, the more customers you lose to austerity, the less money you make. My internet company, Comcast, issued a statement saying that if some of us can't pay our internet right now, they won't cut us off for at least 2 months. That doesn't mean they don't want their money. It just means that if you wind up owing $270, then you still owe $270. I'm keeping up with it, though. Better to part with $90 today than have to come up with $270 in 3 months. I still have a job for now. As far as we know, we're still working because other folks have to go to work, too. Because it's the fucking city and county utilities department, it's only fair. I'm happy about that. Buildings are usually empty when I get there anyway. I worry about my twin. No health problems, although being overweight and having high blood pressure doesn't help. They do the hand washing and the don the gloves, but won't nobody at her fancy hospital mention anything about masks and gowns? Because wouldn't want to make their private insurance guests feel uncomfortable. Money is our God. Jesus is just a paid spokesperson. This is so new and different for any of us living. And considering the incredible advancements in healthcare and technology we've made, you think it would be easier to handle. But at our base, we are still humans. And humans are taught that life is a survival of the fittest. And the fittest have more money and better access to healthcare. Some of us are weak and naturally need to be purged. The problem is, who's willing to volunteer? I'll help as much as I can. I don't know about your food and car insurance, but if keeping the lights on will keep your internet on, here's $5. Keep doing the Lord's work. His true disciples didn't wear Brooks Brothers suits. His true disciples got dirty and ate what was offered. We'll share what we have, and we parishioners will listen. We will learn. And we are going to survive this as better people because of it. Thank you, Lady B. That is deeply inspiring. Thank you. And so, there's so much there in what she says. The business about survival of the fittest. Do you realize that once upon a time, this is not a fairy tale, anthropologists and archaeologists tell us that at one point, humanity, or what would become humanity, got down to about 2,000 individuals in Africa. And it was from those 2,000 that we have fanned out and expanded into our billions upon this planet. Billions and billions. And sometimes I wonder about those 2,000. And I wonder who was the stupidest of them. Because it seems fairly obvious to me that whoever the stupidest one of those 2,000 last remaining hominins, they apparently fucked a lot. Because, you know, no society is any stronger than its weakest link. Speaking of which, do you remember Lance Link, Private Chimp, for those of a certain age? Lance Link in the White House right now would be a quantum leap over what we've got. I don't know, maybe that it would be hard to quantify, but in that group of 2,000, there had to be a stupidest. And there had to be a greediest. And a most avaricious. And most of the ills of humanity, whoever those individuals were, can probably be traced to them. And here we are. Meanwhile, Baltimore Bob with a note. The coronavirus raises these questions. How will our Führer manage to go on without the adoration from his maggot rallies? How will he fill in the infinite void in his soul? How will he satisfy his insatiable hunger for approval? We will soon find out. Meanwhile, Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, I hate to be so negative all the time, but while I want to believe that we'll get through this and be better for it, when I see ICE thugs using lockdowns as a way to more easily deport non-criminal immigrants, I really wonder if we're good enough as a country as a whole to get through this. Well, guess what? Mexico is responding to the coronavirus crisis a hell of a lot better than we are, and they're thinking about beefing up security at the border to keep us out of Mexico. Yeah, how about that? Or how about the fact that Norway Norway has urged its citizens and students and so forth to come home to Norway because, well, because they consider the United States to be a backward nation. Yeah, Norway. That's pretty much where we are. And it's hard to argue against that. And just to get us started. Oh, and by the way, and this ought to be a real Lulu, I'm going to take some live audio at the beginning of the next hour. Don't let me forget, please. The governor of the state of West Virginia is doing a press conference. He'll be seated there in Charleston behind the Irresolute desk. And a lot of people are very nervous about what he's expected to say. My friends that run the hip happening cool little restaurant industry over across the river are trying to modify their business models so that they can survive. Secret Sandwich has moved to curbside delivery and some in-town delivery. And just hoping to hang on. Dead air? Brother Deacon Asa tells me hot on both streams. You misunderstimate the Titanic intellectuals at your own peril. Well, I'll have to check. Let me look in the chat room. Give me just a second here. Waiting for some sort of a response. Okay. Okay, no, we're going out. Thank you. Thank you, Lambelaine. Okay, no, we're hot on both streams. Don't know what's going on, Dave. Sorry. Kyle says, so we're the rogue state and the bad guy at a team we should be leading. As a team, we should be leading the global response, or at least among the leaders. Sigh. Has he made us great again yet? And Randy in PA notes that at one point in time I'd said that the U.S. Surgeon General, who is a minion of Mike Pencilneck geeks, he was not to be found, but they found him. They've got him standing up there now. It's not particularly inspiring. Well, I don't know. Maybe White Rose isn't going out, but head on. No, hot on both streams, Asa says. Loud and clear from across the Hudson from deserted Gotham, says Steve in New York. Thank you for that. So here then is Nitwit Nero from a press conference earlier today. It begins with Mike Pencil Neck Geek blithering away, but then the hockey stick graph for stupidity goes almost straight up.
With regard to yesterday's 15-day slow the spread plan, our team unanimously brought to the president these very strong recommendations for every American, because we truly believe we are at a point in this epidemic in our country when we can reduce the number of people that actually are exposed to or contract the coronavirus. But we'll continue to bring the best data, the best evidence, and the best recommendations, frankly, of the best health experts in the world, and the president will continue to make decisions that put the health of America first.
In other words, reduce the number of people that die. That's what we're trying to do. And when you do the steep curve, a lot of people are going to die. A lot of people. You know, the worst ever, they say 1918. And I don't.
No, okay. 1918 is not, they say, the worst ever. That would probably be the bubonic plague of the mid-14th century. Or any number of outbreaks that wiped out the most populous hemisphere of this continent, or largely wiped out vast numbers of people on the most populous hemisphere of this globe, not continent, namely the Americas, and the plagues that white Europeans brought. So we're off and running, and like I said, the stupid turns into a hockey stick graph in a real hurry. But remember, we're talking about the plague of 1919. And thanks to Lee in New York for making me aware of this clip.
The worst ever, they say, 1918. And I don't have to go into the numbers, but they were unbelievable numbers. Had they known and had they done what we had now, it would have been a very much different story. It would still be tragic, but it would have been a very much different. But that was the one that people write about. That was an incredible pandemic like we haven't seen. But we have done something that hopefully we will all have made the right moves. We're all in this together, including you.
Yeah. Gosh, if only he'd been president during the pandemic, because he's just learning a brand new word and he's so proud of himself. Yeah, the pandemic. He's much better at pandemics than he's the best at pandemics, because his uncle went to MIT. Kyle asking, does this son of a bitch know anything, and does everything have to be the best, worst, most, this or that? Jesus, someone make him shut up. At least Pence tries to make sense. Well, in his evangelical fundamentalist way. Ah, thanks. Thanks, Different Dave. Receiva and VTuner are both loud and clear. Thank you. So anyway, it'll be interesting and terrifying to see what the governor of West Virginia has to say at 6 o'clock. I mean, I'm going to subject you guys to it because, well, living here, I kind of have to know. That's just how it works out. In regard to that clip, subject line, don't know much about history, Lee in New York says, the hysterical historian gets it wrong again. He says how if he was president during the Spanish flu epidemic, it would have been much better. Here's what the isolationist idiot does not know. The flu started in God blessed U.S. of A. It was diagnosed and classified in Spain. A flu in this country does not get addressed by isolating the infected country. Obligatory Star Trek reference from the alternative factor, Kirk. The point where they come into contact, couldn't that be described as a whole? Spot. Indeed. I point out that a hole in the universe or in a simple container can either allow the contents to escape or what is outside to enter. Anyone who understands security, infection, says Lee, knows that every hole is a problem. You know, blocking Europeans coming here, but not blocking Americans returning from Europe. Blocking cargo, but not blocking it because ships have crews. Only letting people travel from safe countries because Europeans cannot go to Canada to get to the U.S. COVID-19 is here. Locking the door is not safety. Locking the door with the window open is not safety. Blocking all exits with the horror movie murderer on the inside is not safety. And gun sales, Lee adds, are up. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. So, props where they're due, says Steve in New York. My understanding is that Republican Governor Mike DeWine has been fantastic at dealing with this and has basically been the model on how to address it. Well, there's been a little bit of politics played, but, well, any Republican's going to do that, I guess. And so, by the way, just a little blast from the past, a little time travel. Sherman set the Wayback Machine for February 3rd, 2015. Here we are remembering the wisdom of that titanic intellect from North Carolina Stan, namely Senator Thom Tillis. It was back in 2015 when Senator Thom Tillis held a question and answer session at the Bipartisan Policy Center. And Thom Tillis has strong libertarian beliefs. And he made the argument back then that restaurants should have the ability to opt out of regulations having to do with the health and well-being of their employees and their customers, like hand-washing regulations. The fact that we have regulations mandating hand-washing back then, Thom Tillis said, was one of the proved that the United States is one of the most regulated nations in the history of the planet. I was talking to a lady from Starbucks back in 2010, and I said, I don't have any problem with Starbucks if they choose to opt out of this policy, as long as they post a sign that says we don't require our employees to wash their hands after leaving the restroom. The market will take care of that. It's kind of like back when the Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, told Rachel Maddow that he would have voted against the Civil Rights Act because the free market would have taken care of segregation, Jim Crow, and racism. Completely oblivious to the fact that over the course of 100 years or so, the free market never had gotten around to it. Just didn't really want to bother with it. Is the money still coming in? Yeah, good, never mind. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how Thom Tillis feels about hand-washing regulations now. Maybe voters in North Carolina should be reminded of that periodically between now and November, because isn't he up for re-election? Isn't he the one? The president of that organization, the Bipartisan Policy Center, Jason Grummet, said to him, "You know, I'm not sure if I'm going to shake your hand now." Yeah. Good times. Good times. But I mentioned those stupid people in that band of 2,000 hearty pre-human hominins. And it seems pretty clear that, at least to me, that here, now, we know where our problems are going to be, where they're going to come from. Namely, the descendants of the stupid, the stupid monkey, the stupid hominin. As Brother Deacon Asa asked, did the anthropologist say by any chance if those 2,000 individuals take to stupidest among them and make him or her or it president? That's a key piece of information that's missing. Well, sooner or later, that's the thing, that the little gene just sits back there like a ticking time bomb and eventually blows up in our faces. Any hole is a problem, notes Scott in San Diego, including assholes. Trump is a big asshole, ergo, Trump is a big problem. Kyle, who actually is from Kentucky Stan, but lives in Ohio Stan, says, I have to say, as a resident of Ohio, I'm actually very impressed with the way Governor DeWine has handled everything by taking necessary action to try to mitigate the spread of the virus while not inciting panic. I'll give credit to a Republican when they deserve it. Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, look, it's Kid Rock. I had no idea that Kid Rock owned a restaurant in Nash Vegas, Tennessee. This is an unpaid product placement. It is apparently called Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse. Now, the mayor of Nash Vegas has ordered bars and restaurants to close. You may have seen the photographs and video of idiots packed in like sardines, dancing the night away at some at a honky tonk on Lower Broadway over the weekend. Well, Kid Rock says, we appreciate the efforts of Mayor Cooper to combat the COVID-19 virus, but unless there's a statewide mandate that directs all bars and restaurants to be closed, the request made by Mayor Cooper is unconstitutional, as he is targeting a select group of businesses. We're compassionate with those who have contracted the COVID-19 coronavirus and all those who are helping manage the crisis, as the entire world addresses the outbreak. However, a Tootsie's patron, as immediate as last night, mentioned having lived through the polio epidemic and didn't recall such extreme measures being handed down in history. This, of course, was promulgated by Fox Nashville. Mm-hmm. Never mind. This is, of course, ahistorical. Because there were quarantines for polio. Jesus. So we know, you know, oh, by the way, yeah, I think we need some, deep analysis for Kid Rock.
You dick!
That will do nicely. So Kid Rock is announcing that, well, he would rather make his restaurant a vector of disease than be part of functioning civil society and manifest anything resembling human decency. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Meanwhile, down in South Carolina, Stan, David says, McGubna closed all bars and restaurants, ordering them to close by Wednesday for dine-in services. Don't know if drive-in bars are permitted. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's probably coming my way fairly soon. Steve in New York. Those dumb hominins, yeah, their hair or fur had an orange hue. As Kyle observes, literally Republicans,
public safety measures are unconstitutional because they're inconvenient and made me have to change my daily life.
Exactly. Makes me think back to my parents' generation. Let's see. My dad turned 19 in 1943. My mom, 18. And they had, they were born in 1924 and 1925. It was West Virginia, so they really didn't know much in the way of prosperity, and then the Republicans destroyed the economy like Republicans always do. And so their formative years were from about 1930 to 1940. And so by the time December 7th, 1941 rolls around and the Second World War begins, for us, it was already quite the going concern for Asia and Europe. They have lived with 10 years of their childhoods were defined by privation. And so when the sacrifices of the Second World War came around, yeah, there were inconveniences. There were shortages. There was rationing, but in many ways, they didn't have that much to be inconvenienced over because they hadn't had much in the first place. Much of the country was that way. And so, as rising adults, they just bent to the load and shouldered it and kept moving. That generation, my father would have been 100 years old a mere 4 years from now. Suffice to say, that generation is largely gone from us and cannot share with us the wisdom of their struggles. Some of them wrote, perhaps. But for the most part, they took a considerable amount of their knowledge with them. And so we have to figure this out on our own. And we have to deal with the stupid as best we can. Take, for instance, no, please, take her. Take, for instance, a social media influencer. Her name is Ava Louise. And she's got 150,000 followers on Instagram and 19,000 on TikTok. And on March the 14th, she posted a video I'd seen this once before, and Brother Deacon Asa referred to, commended it to me as well. Social media influencer Ava Louise, who is a young'un, I mean, what, maybe 19, 20, I don't even know if she can legally, I don't know if she can drink legally. Probably best she wouldn't when you hear this. She wanted to create and have go viral something called the Coronavirus Challenge.
It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now. It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now.
Okay, so that doesn't tell you much. She shoots the video in the restroom of an airliner. And in it, she proceeds to lick the toilet seat. When she was interviewed by a publication called Insider, she said that she did it because she was tired of some bitch named Corona getting more publicity than me. And hot blondes can recover from anything, so there's no harm done. I can't get coronavirus, just like the gays, rich blonde bitches, are immune. And we thought Tide Pods were bad. But it's all over the place. Oh, God, it is. This is how we find out if the species has a chance. Wow. It's not inspiring. Oh, no. Over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, an active vector for the dissemination of the disease. Well, you got... You got enough disinformation to choke a maggot. Enter evangelist Velveeta King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who runs a grift usually about the precious little fetuses. So she has absolutely no knowledge, no subject matter knowledge, no subject matter expertise about the coronavirus. She's not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination. She's a gospel hustler. So naturally, Pete Hegseth over on Fox and Fiends, well, they booked Velveeta King to come and explain all about the coronavirus, because of course they did.
Leader and evangelist Velveeta King. Dr. King, thank you so much for being here this morning. Your reaction to the president declaring a national day of prayer.
Good morning, Pete. Hello, morning. Fox and friends. And I want to say that this is not a time
Hello,
to be
Cleveland.
Fearful and tearful. Don't panic. Pray. You know, our president says that we don't worship government, we worship God. And in the prayer community, we are asking God to avert coronavirus.
So, okay, that hasn't happened. That's not going to happen. And it's already killed lots of people, too many. So I guess that loving God did not so much. Reminds me of the words of Joe Hill. Live on hay, pray and pray, day by day. There'll be pie in the sky when you die. Oh, update, courtesy of Sparky. Kid Rock gave in. His restaurant in Nash Vegas is now closed. Thank you, Sparky. Clarence in South Carolina Stan says, I learned a new word today. Let me know if I used it in the right context. Donald Trump is a lying, loudmouth lout. Just asking. Yes, that's an excellent usage. That's an excellent usage of the word lout. And God knows he is one. So back to Velveeta King, shall we?
And to rescue America. I'd like to use Psalm 91. It says he'll deliver us from diseases and enemies and terrorists. So it's very important. I have done some shopping myself. I have an elderly mother. I'm elderly. On my next birthday, I'll be 70 years old. That's pretty elderly as well. So I'm being precautious, but not scared. And that is the message that we have to give. I will probably go to my house of worship, but we have protocols in place and warnings and that type of thing. I believe the president's going to be watching live on live stream or something with Jensen Franklin. So,
Alvita, that's another part of this question as well. My home church closing services and going virtually. Some others deciding to still hold their services. You say you will be attending. Talk to me about that decision.
Well, even last week, we usually hug and everybody gets up and hugs and hey and all that. But we kind of wave across at each other and leave seats between ourselves and that kind of thing when with these various protocols that we have. And as I say, I was shopping yesterday and everybody was grabbing the hand wipes, the sanitizer and all of that type of thing. However, we do know that everything is being done here in America. President Trump is correct in reminding us to be wise. And I think he said that a vaccine is on the verge. And
yeah, that would be a lie, Velveeta. There's no vaccine on the verge. It's also not on The View, and it's not on Fox and Friends either. Jesus. But they're going to do what they're going to do. And damn the rest of us along the way. Jesus, save me from your followers.
And some other types of precautions and healing measures. I do believe that that should be very comforting for us.
Alvita, you know, we live in a complicated fallen world. A lot of people wonder, ask things like why.
Fallen world? Oh, God, are we... We're going to go back to the talking snake now, the chatty cottonmouth, the gibbering gabon viper, the frisky fer-de-lance.
Hi, what's your answer to people as far as the power of prayer in moments like this?
Well, I really, in my prayer, I say, God, is this you doing this for judgment? And then I went to Psalms 2, and it says the rulers and the kings of the earth get together and plot and do certain kind of things. So evil people, it seems as though biological warfare was involved in this to some degree.
No, it doesn't. That is entirely irresponsible, utterly dishonest, and par for the course for Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Yeah, I think it was Tom Cotton of Arkansas who said, you know, when this is all over, we're going to have our vengeance on China. One CBS reporter of Asian descent said that a White House staffer referred to the disease as the Chinese flu to her face. She said, if they'll say that to my face, I wonder what they're saying behind our backs. And I guess some people are surprised to find out that it's being referred to as the Kung Flu. Well, I've been hearing that for weeks. As in, President Trump's going to save us from the Kung Flu, that Chinese Kung Flu. Apparently, another side effect of this disease is going to be massive amounts of xenophobia and racism directed at Asian peoples.
Degree. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't want...
Oh, yeah, you are. Jesus, Velveeta.
Want to make up
anything. We don't know that. I get
right.
that.
We don't. But I said, you know, people, this seems to be human error in handling it. But they say on the back of Lysol can, and that's not a commercial. You probably can't find it on the shelves anyway. But coronavirus is listed as something that some of these chemical things like bleach and things like that can handle it. So
this almost 70-year-old fool doesn't realize that this isn't the first appearance of coronavirus. This near 70-year-old dipshit doesn't realize that coronavirus it's a subset of the broader world of viruses. And meanwhile, Emery and Marveline are out there in America, sitting in their matching Barca loungers in their single wides, and just soaking it all in. Great heavenly days. It's kind of hard to avoid, you know, because I don't want to do that. But it's hard to avoid channeling my inner Scott in San Diego and saying, we're all screwed. You know, for the longest time, we had a phrase, Sister Carol Baker used it a lot. You know, this is why we can't have nice things. God. Ron and Raleigh, kid schlock. That no-talent jag-off has been living off the talent of others for far too long. He straight up stole Warren Zevon's hook from Werewolves of London. I was hoping he and Tom would Tom Tillis would get a good case of the coronavirus. P.S. Who is that influencer influencing? The one who licked the toilet seat. She and Logan Paul need to date. Oh, I know. So, I think there's at least a certain amount of value in knowing who's out there trying to kill us. I mean, as noted last night, Governor Jim said, if you want to go to Bob Evans, go to Bob Evans. Get you some sausage.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, wow. Thank you so much, Yuki. That's really kind of you. Thank you very kindly. Yuki just stepped in alongside Lady B. And now we have $415 to go to keep up with fundraising. Thank you so much, Yuki. Thank you very much indeed. Who's this woman again, asked Scott in San Diego. Is she a daughter of MLK? No, she's his niece. She said her mother was elderly, so she couldn't be. Coretta Scott King is dead, has been for some years now. Yes. The world would be a better place if Coretta Scott King wasn't and Velveeta was. She's been running her fetus hustle for far too long. Foreign flu. sending me a photo, a graphic of Hong Kong Fui. This is who to blame. Don't do that, Lee. It'll be all over Fox News by tomorrow. Roseanne Cash tweeted, she subtweeted Frank Conniff, who said, St. Patrick's Day festivities have been canceled, but as an Irishman, nothing can stop my daily parade of resentments. Roseanne Cash subtweeted it, saying, being Irish, he had an abiding sense of tragedy, which sustained him through temporary periods of joy. William Butler Yeats. Thanks, David, in South Carolina, stand for that. We need a giggle. We're going to have to giggle. We've got the right dynamic for the new frontier. So, last night we had Rodney Howard Brown in Tampa saying that people are pansies if they're concerned about COVID-19. And had his congregation hugging and rubbing on each other. Well, it wasn't just him. Over in Arkansas, there's another gospel sharp by the name of Reverend Josh King. He and the pastors of five other gospel shops got together last week to talk about whether to continue holding service. And they decided that, well, you gotta keep church open. Reverend Josh King quoted one pastor as saying, one pastor said half of his church is ready to lick the floor to prove there's no actual virus. In your more politically conservative regions, closing is not interpreted as caring for you. It's interpreted as liberalism or buying into the hype. His church was open. He gets about 1,100 worshipers every Sunday. So look for coronavirus to spread in a really nasty fashion where he is. Yeah, maybe the social media influencer can go to that church and lick the floor with the believers. Then there's an idiot by the name of Katie Williams. She responded to a tweet by AOC recently. AOC trying to be responsible. Remember, she's been a bartender. She said, to everyone in New York City, but especially healthy people and people under 40, because from what I'm observing, that's who needs to hear this again, please stop crowding bars, restaurants, and public spaces right now. Eat your meals at home. If you're healthy, you could be spreading COVID. The aforementioned idiot, Katie Williams, responded, I just went to a crowded Red Robin, and I'm 30. It was delicious, and I took my sweet time eating my meal, because this is America, and I'll do what I want. One of the little factoids that's coming out of the horror that is Italy is the reason it has been so hard on Italy's elderly population. Apparently, it has a lot to do with the fact that Italian young people actually love their elders, their grandmothers, their grandfathers, a great deal. And they visit them a lot. And that is why, part of why, it spread so viciously in the elderly population of Italy. I wonder if Katie Williams is going to go and smollock all over her grandma. But then again, It could be that Grandma doesn't even like Katie Williams. I can't imagine very many people do. And we don't, you know, we don't really have press conferences from the White House so much as we have daily airing of grievances. So earlier today, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, was interviewed on MSNBC. And she didn't pull any punches.
Of the state of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. Governor, thank you for joining us this morning. It has been an extraordinary few days. Just yesterday, you decided to close restaurants, bars, gyms, coffee houses, clubs, and movie theaters. What went into making that decision? What was the tipping point?
Well, let me just start with this. You know, all of these decisions that you see governors making across the country on both sides of the aisle, frankly, are they weigh heavily on us, knowing that when we close the restaurants to dine in and we close all the bars, that it is going to mean that people are going to lose their jobs and a lot of businesses are really going to struggle. We know this. But at the end of the day, we have to make decisions based on the best science, the best facts, and what is in the best interest of the public health. And places of mass congregation are where this virus continues to spread. In order to flatten the curve, we need to be aggressive on the front end. The federal government did not take this seriously early enough, and now it is on us to make sure we're doing everything we can based on the best facts and science available.
That's pretty cogent. Pretty damned intelligent. And it's really, when you get right down to it, pretty mild. The federal government failed to respond appropriately, and now it's falling to the states to get the job done. Of course, this engendered an almost immediate petulant tweet from Donald J. Trump, the human coronavirus. Failing Michigan governor must work harder and be much more proactive. We are pushing her to get the job done. I stand with Michigan. Bub, she responded to your State of the Union, and you did not look good by comparison. She's giving facts. I mean, sick Caesar. Do you like that one? Sick Caesar has told the states to try to get what they can because, well, the federal government's just not competent enough to pull it off. But when somebody else says it about him, well, that triggers him. Poor little snowflake.
And that we are always putting the health of our people front and center. So it was a tough decision to make, but we know that the spread of this virus is dependent on close proximity, and this was one of many steps that we're taking in the state of Michigan.
What's the next step? Is it to shelter in place what San Francisco is doing?
You know what? We're not prepared to announce anything like that yet, but I will say this. Yesterday, I issued an executive order on extending unemployment so that we can draw down more federal resources to help people who are really going to struggle in this moment. Last week, I shut schools very early on in the process, and I think a lot of people were wondering if that was the right thing to do. But in the days since, we've seen a lot of school employees test positive for the coronavirus. We've had a five-year-old child in Michigan test positive for the coronavirus. So the fact that anyone thinks that there's a segment of our population that is not vulnerable is wrong. Every one of us has to proceed as though we are carrying the virus, and that's why we all need to do our part, not congregating, washing our hands, not greeting one another in the traditional fashion of shaking a hand, and keeping that 6-foot social distancing. It's really important for all of us, for our health, but also for our economy.
Extending unemployment benefits Will that be available to all of those restaurant and bar workers that were basically put out of work yesterday? And will those benefits be 100%? Because normally unemployment benefits are just a portion.
That's right. You know, we in Michigan, unfortunately, in recent years, the leaders, my predecessors, took unemployment benefits back from 26 weeks to 20 weeks. We know that in order to maximize the benefit for Michiganders, I needed to extend it back to 26 weeks. And that's why I did it via executive order, so that when these dollars become available, we're really pulling together to make sure that we're helping people who are going to struggle. And we're going to continue to move forward on all of those fronts.
Sounds like she's doing a pretty damn good job. Necessarily, then, she had to be attacked by Sicko Caesar. Jesus. Well, here we are at the top of the hour. Let's find out what's going on. Let's find out what's going on in here in Almost Level West by Cold Trump Virginia stand. Never fear. Big Jim's on the job. Well, so far, nothing. Let's try another. Oh, that was yesterday. Get to watch the sign language interpreter again doing her holy shit, can you believe what a fuck up this guy is thing. More breaking news, especially for people like Rodney Howard Brown, who doesn't know anyone who has the coronavirus. Do you know anybody? I know myself. I got to work on the South African accent. Sparky just let me know. Kevin Durant is among four Nets players, Brooklyn Nets, who have tested positive for the coronavirus. Damn. All right.
Cancel the state basketball tournament. You want to go to a nursing home and see maybe a mom or dad, and you can't maybe go at this time. For all that, I apologize, because I am terribly sorry. There's also the economic component of this. And as you look at the economic component, I've said over and over and over that our nation and our state is going to have to step up and keep you whole as best we possibly can. I can assure you that my real friend, Donald Trump, is absolutely all on board with trying to do just that.
As opposed to his fake friend, Donald Trump?
And I assure you, from the standpoint of the state of West Virginia and our legislatures, we'll do the same. Now, in addition to that, there's the health concern. And this is where I really feel the most pain. Because if by chance I left a stone unturned, and at the end of the day, you know, in trying to do something to cure an inconvenience or to cure an economic issue, I exposed others to a situation to where you lost a loved one. How do we overcome that? How do we replace that? And it just can't be done. Now, I tell you without any question whatsoever, the last days or the last weeks have been tough. They've been lonely and tough for Kathy and I, our family, and all of you which have been good enough to send many, many, many prayers. Now, like I said, this is a serious, serious problem. Tonight, I'm going to give you a pathway to solving this problem. I'm telling you just this, that I am tonight.
He's giving it to us.
That we close restaurants, we close bars, and we close our casinos. Now, with that, we'll be able to have carry out at our bars, at our restaurants, but we have to close our casinos and we have to close our restaurants and our bars from the standpoint of people gathering in those and transmitting this terrible disease. Now, or potentially transmitting. But I said I was going to give you a pathway, and I'm going to ask you something really, really special. That tonight, you've got to join me. We're all in this boat together. We have to do this. The pathway to absolutely the prevention of this disease spreading. And this is a once in all of our lifetimes events that is happening here. A pandemic. None of us have ever gone through a pandemic. But this is real, and it's really concerning. Now, here's the pathway. This disease, our power to combat this disease is being apart from one another. Our power is already at work in that our communities are diverse and there are different spots in our mountains and all the things that are already working for us. But our power is...
Our communities are not diverse.
We have to take...
This is one of the most undiverse states in
the
Union.
Hygiene recommendations. We have to take seriously the ability to stay 6 foot apart from one another. We have to take seriously the ability to stay away from our crowds, help our elderly, go to the grocery stores for our elderly. And if you show up at the grocery store and the grocery store is full of people, don't go at that time. We've got to be really smart. We have to use our power. Our power that we feel like is inconveniencing us and hurting us is our power to destroy this terrible disease. Now, West Virginia is absolutely the greatest place on earth, the greatest people. I couldn't be more proud or more humbled.
Drink!
This position right now. I don't run from this position. I am absolutely proud to be your governor and to try to do everything in my power to keep you safe, to keep you healthy. You see, at the end of the day, the thing that is the most fearful of all is just this. We stand back asleep at the switch a little bit, and then all of a sudden this thing grabs hold. And then what happens is we cover up our medical professionals. We cover up our hospitals with those that are really sick, and we can't treat them in a way that we want to be able to treat them. And then on top of that, we even have the potential of contaminating or getting our doctors sick. Now, you've got to listen to me. We've got to be in this boat together. We've absolutely got to join hands and use our power. Our power is be apart. Be apart. Be smart. Look after each other and try in every way, shape, form, or fashion to move ourselves forward. Like I said before, we will try in every way to make our businesses whole and to make those, all of our employees whole, that they will not be at... They will not be out dollars from paychecks and have a financial burden on top of them. And lastly, I just say these words. By the grace of God, shepherding us in every way, shape, form, or fashion, we'll get through this. We'll win, and we'll protect our people to the best of all of our abilities in every way, shape, form, or fashion. Again, I thank you for joining me tonight. And I'll be with you, thick or thin, till the very, very end in every way.
Mostly thick.
We're going to win. We're going to beat this bad, bad disease. Thank you in every way. God bless you.
Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, it didn't take too long, but you can pack a whole lot of stupid into a very small space. Great googly moogly. Be smart. Stay apart. All right. Because using the phrase social distancing is apparently too much. And by the way, my local Wally World has stopped being a 24-hour Wally World. Usually that's when the shelves get stocked. But they're closing at 11 now. So that cuts into the ability to, you know, if you go to the store and there's a bunch of, and it's full of people, don't go into the store. If you think that one through, it's not an encouraging situation. And be smart, stay apart. How many feet there? How many feet apart? Big Jim? 6? 10? Yeah, no. And we were there almost at the very beginning. You notice what was missing? If we're going to be smart and stay apart, and knowing this state for how and who and what it is, do you think you might at least ask, because we can't tell the churches, to maybe not hold in-person services? Oh, yes. And go Mountaineers. Thank you, Dave. Go home, Mountaineers. But could he have just asked the churches not to hold services? Could he have encouraged the Simon Simple and Simon Pure to stay home and pray, do their praying at home? Could he have told them that Jesus will still love them, even if they stay home from church? I guess not. This horrible, horrible disease. Well, we are among the most at-risk populations in terms of individual states in the country. And it's sad and it's frightening. And his real friend is Donald Trump. And it looks like he's about as good at this as his real friend Donald Trump is, which is to say, not at all. Oh, remember how Mike Pencil Neck Geek said we would absolutely have 4 million tests out and available? And then last week he said, we'll have 1.9 million any day now. Here in West Virginia, again, over the scope of the general population, this isn't just because of the of our older Americans, our older West Virginians. We are in a terrible, terrible state of general health. And doing the math, we have the ability to test 416 more people out of 1.7 million. Healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, they're trying, they are being as professional as they can be about it, but they've got to be about freaked out. Joe Manchin's brother is a doctor up in Farmington, West Virginia. And Joe checked in with his brother, and his brother said, no, we don't have any tests. We wouldn't even begin to know where to find one. And among other things, that's again because Sick Caesar fucked up. And Mike Pencil Neck Geek, because the first thing they thought of was, how can we make this, how can we take this crisis and make it really be good for our corporate pals? Emma Court, writing for Bloomberg News, says, in the U.S., the race to contain the new coronavirus with testing is all but over. Ashish Jha, director of the Harvard Global Health Institute, said, we're so far behind this thing at this point, and the reason we're so far behind is because we've had so little testing. This is such a rapidly moving infection that losing a few days is bad, and losing a couple of weeks is terrible. Losing 2 months is close to disastrous, and that's what we did. And, of course, they're out there actively lying about it now. Media just messaged me and said, I just heard that the first case has been identified here in the Eastern Panhandle. That would make sense because it's close to D.C. There's a lot of people commuting from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia to D.C. on a daily basis. Well, I said it would be either Morgantown, the Eastern Panhandle, Huntington, Charleston, or good old Fayette County. Of course, I was hearing last week that they'd already identified a case, and that one in Charleston. This is going to be a monumental fuck-up. It already is a monumental fuck-up. And it's just so sad. Meanwhile, in Syria and Iraq, ISIS, Daesh, ISIL, well, they've warned their fighters and potential terrorists not to go to Europe. Because of the coronavirus outbreak. The regime of the psychopath Bibi Netanyahu, well, that government has approved emergency measures for expanded spying on Israeli citizens they suspect of having the coronavirus. Wow. Just, you know, wow. Lee in New York says, "Be smart, stay apart." Where'd he get that? Don't be stupid. Be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party. Oh no, the producers. Meanwhile, I've apparently ruined dinner preemptively in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone Suman just wrote, I'm confused. Damn, Bob. I can't get that picture out of my head now. Why was that so-called influencer licking the toilet seat? I didn't know that toilet seats spread the virus any more than any other object elsewhere. Either way, isn't she just licking shit? Do we now have multiple toilet seat lickers running around after they see this video? Somehow this stupidity seems more of a concern than the virus itself. In some ways it is. The stupid ye have always with ye. Oh, yeah. I don't know, maybe it's a kink. You know, there are people like that. But, yeah. It did look a little bit like she'd polished it a bit before she went to licking, but I don't even, well. Now we've taken care of dinner in the Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific time zones. Ooh, there's a good one. Cowbell for Jack in Shreveport. West Virginia slogan. How about this? Remember, 6 feet apart or 6 feet under. That is, that's got all the, that's got the essence of a really, really good bumper sticker. It conveys the message. It's hard to not understand. And, it's catchy. Good one, Jack. Good one. Oh, and thanks going out to John. Thank you, John, a member of the Fraternity of John. Thank you very kindly indeed. John just got us, just helped us finish off the last of last week. So, and got started on yesterday. Thank you, John. We are now down to $390 bucks to go. And I thank everybody for chipping in to make sure that this stays on as long as it can. Thank you, John and Yuki and Lady B. Thank you very kindly. In South Carolina, Stan, David says, officially, we have 48 cases, yet our friends around the state tell us of hundreds of active cases. We added up all the cases we've been told about by people who would know because of their jobs. Yeah. And Columbia, South Carolina, has gone to a curfew now, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., which, curiously, is, I think, the same time frame that Wally World here is now closed. That's probably the direction we're going in. Oh, dear. It looks like Melanoma and Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner, thanks to Ralphs for this, are catching some grief. Deservedly so. These horrible, horrible people.
Horrible, horrible.
Because they, Princess Iwanka Madaddy posted a picture of her with her spawn.
Staying home today with kids? Plan living room camp out. Throw a bed sheet over some taped together brooms. Plan a menu and pack sandwiches, salads, s'mores optional. A fun activity that also brings together a family for a meal. Share your ideas. Use the hashtag #TogetherApart.
Asha Rangappa over at CNN said she truly has no idea how this impacts real people with jobs. And then melanoma, who is in a constant state of competition with Iwanka, she said in a tweet,
"Consider taking advantage of time working from home to connect with your loved ones via email or FaceTime. Spend time with family or work on your well-being by reading a book or spending time on a hobby." Or take your clothes off for money on a video chat.
Jesus. First Lady Marie Antoinette. And then, of course, there's the Christian mom blogger who said this is also good because it's going to make moms go back into the home and stop being little tramps and trollops out there in the working economy. Well, House of Roberts, that's what I mean for it to do. In the chat room, House of Roberts says, "Melanoma sounds like a cross between Dracula and Boris Badenov." God, isn't she awful? So, Steve in New York says, if there ever was an example that regular folks are on our own, that's it. Olga Lautman reports on Twitter, "The FAA says the tower at Chicago's Midway Airport is closed after several air traffic controllers tested positive for COVID-19. And it's a munted shit show, says Flavio. I learned a new word from Australia, munted. That's how they're describing our approach to COVID-19, a munted shit show, whose path has been traced back to the malignant shit funnel Trump. Flatten the curve." Yeah, Robert sent me that. Robert in Australia sent me that that video clip last week, and I have watched it over and over again and shared it on social media because it's a hell of a lot. It's a hell of a lot more informative than 90% of what's coming out of the mouths of the multimillionaires on for-profit media. Hey, Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy, thank you very much. We are now down to 380 to go. Thank you. Thank you very kindly indeed. We're getting there. Thank you. Well, we are at roughly the halfway point. Of the program. And yeah, where's that? Just one. Oh, by the way, Ronna Romney McDaniel, chair of the Republican National Committee. She's been feeling kind of puny, and now she's being tested for COVID. Ah, yeah, there's the blogger. Lori Alexander wrote a book a couple of years ago called The Transformed Wife. And she's the one that doesn't like women in the workplace. She wants women to be full-time housewives because Jesus. And she has now declared that the coronavirus is pushing a lot of women back into their homes with their children, which is a good thing, in my opinion. Uh, and you remember how we heard about how there's a 5-year-old with the coronavirus? Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan talking about that? Well, Christian mommy blogger, the transformed wife, mom bots assemble. Jesus. She said, mothers of young children, you can rest assured concerning this virus since no children from 0 to 9 have died from it, and most children have mild cases of this. It seems to mostly be killing the elderly and those with health problems. The average of death from the virus is 80 years old. No, it isn't. Then she added, and just think about the people who go to church with this woman. I'm not a hand washer since I'm not afraid of germs. I have dry skin, and I greatly dislike the feel of dry hands. Yes, I wash my hands after using the restroom, but I've never thought about washing my hands after going shopping or out and about. I don't use hand sanitizer. And then she explained her priorities. Many of the things going on in our culture, abortion, children being allowed to change genders, pornography, sex trafficking of children, and so on, are much more destructive to our culture. Maybe God will use this virus for good. Our culture needs a good wake-up call. God is clear in his word that he wants young women to be keepers at home, and older women are to be known for serving and loving and caring and raising up children and helping people. There's nothing about having a career in the Bible. And so Jim Justice says precisely not dick about churches not being open. So come Sunday, I'll get back in the car. I'll stay in the car. I'll keep the windows up, but I'll drive around and just survey again and find out how many of these gospel shops are out there spreading the fucking virus. Our buddy Roger in the chat room says, hopefully this will thin out the Trumpansy herd. And it may. There's polling data to indicate that Democrats are taking this a lot more seriously than Republicans are. Here's the problem with thinning the herd, though. They don't keep to themselves, and you can't know who's who. And they can't keep it in their diseased churches. We're going to shut everything down. And yet the churches are going to be viral stew pots of filth and disease. It's almost like, no, I can't even bear to say it. Well, let's go over and, by the way, the stress line, and wow, has that ever had a better name? Has there ever been a better time for something called the stress line? Stress line's opened, and last I checked, it's, connected to Bluetooth. 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. We'll get you on the stress line. Steve in New York says she may not use hand sanitizer, but I know that her father damned well should have used a condom. Nah, I don't think we're charmed anymore, Steve from Georgia Stan. Prayers have been answered, Bob. You're the only state out of 50 that does not have any Coroni. Snicker. Oh, we've got it. We've got it. Then there's Reber McEntire, the so-called queen of country. She's 64 years old. Her mother recently passed away. Reba McEntire has made the difficult decision to postpone her mother's funeral indefinitely. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, is this going to be a variation on the name of that avant-garde play from, what, the 1950s? Oh, Dad, Poor Dad, mother's hung you in the closet, and I'm feeling so sad. Or maybe it's, oh, dad, poor dad, dead dad. Mama's, mother's hung you in the closet, and I'm feeling so sad. So she just got, but she said she gave all praise to God for taking Mama at the right time. I reckon Reber figured that the Trumpademic would have gotten her. Does that woman, the Christian blogger lady, Ron in Raleigh asks, does she know that the last year that a family could survive on a single income was 1979? It's obvious that this oatmeal for brains woman doesn't know how the other half lives. Steve from Georgia Stan says, what's the point? When I was out and about yesterday, I went past a park and kids were touching each other, playing tag and so forth. What's the point, man? Parents, control your kids. And by the way, social distancing, 6 feet. If you see somebody with a maggot hat, 30. Because those people are going to be diseased. All right, let's see what's going on, Scott. Hey, Scott.
Wait a minute. Okay, I took a big swig of coffee. Wait a minute here.
You know, I wait for you to do that.
Okay. You did good this time, Bob. You trick me every time, Bob. You trick me. May I begin with a brief musical interlude?
Oh, dear.
Come together right now. Stay apart. There you go.
There we go.
How's that for?
I like 6 feet apart or 6 feet under.
Yes, that was the thought of the day. That truly was. Speaking of coffee, let me pour another quick cup here. I don't know. I hate it when I'm right. Not to toot my own horn, but I think my prognostication as to how this thing was going to unravel, if you will, has been pretty much right on.
I don't want to take anything away from you, Scott, but how much prognosticating power does it take to predict that fuck-ups are going to fuck things up?
Well, you know, I get that. I get that. But this is sort of like the ultimate fuck up. He's going to have to try pretty hard or not try pretty hard for the next fuck up, if we live to see one, to be worse than this. This is the one they're going to be talking about forever. Don't you think? I mean, this is... And he didn't have to hardly try to even lift a finger for this one to be sprung on us.
Well, you know,
all he had to do as the Beatles used to sing, is act naturally, do nothing out of the ordinary, and it'll happen. Well, by God, it's happening.
Well, see, here's one of the reasons we're not testing, because we've known all along that the WHO had perfectly useful, good tests, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that this gang of miscreants and fuck-ups refused the tests, right? I mean, there's no argument about that. Well, now we know why. Because the World Health Organization gives the tests away for free to impoverished nations, but wealthy nations have to pay for them. And so Great Britain paid for them. France paid for them. Italy paid for them. Germany paid for them. But Nitwit Nero couldn't find an angle where he could get his beak wet, where he could get in on the grift.
And so, coupled with the fact
that he was afraid
coupled with the fact that he was afraid that
he tie in for his cronies.
Coupled with the fact that he couldn't couldn't wet his beak and help his cronies, and the fact that he was afraid that if we had big numbers, it would hurt his reelection chances. You get this.
Oh yeah.
I'm watching that Johns Hopkins site, just waiting for it to for the number of reported cases to top 200,000. We'll be there by tomorrow.
Oh, I don't doubt
worldwide.
I don't doubt it.
Worldwide total confirmed 196,640, and that is about. Almost 20,000 more than are in China. Yeah, poor suffering Italy. 31,500. Jesus.
Well, anybody who has, I think HBO, can use the HBO Go app and watch on demand anytime the TV film and the band played on.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Early on, I talked about Matthew Modine at the blackboard. Up at the top, he wrote Butcher's Bill. And then on one column was a list of reported cases. On the other column was the ongoing death toll. The difference between the AIDS epidemic and this situation, AIDS had, as far as we know, had a much longer incubation period where nothing happened for years and years, up to a decade or more. This thing is unfurling whatever viruses do. This thing is playing out in real time, pretty near. I mean, not much of a delay at all. And then you add the factor of no practical testing available. And weren't those test kits that WHO was offering, weren't they made in Germany? Didn't we talk about how Germans are premier and eminent in the field of science and technology the other day? I mean, come on.
Not sure where they're made.
Well, I think I heard that on like PBS NewsHour or whatever. I could be wrong, but I do have a question about something you talked about earlier. The Trump living room bedsheet fort for the kids,
right,
is what the question concerns.
Right. It was a white sheet.
Yeah. Does the bedsheet have eye holes pre-drilled? Or how does that work exactly? Anyway, I couldn't resist. Scarlett, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Jesus.
Here's a classic example of Trumpian stupidity, because, right. Well, naturally, Stephen Miller's got his hand in all of this. And so asylum seekers immigrants trying to enter at the southern border, they're going to be turned back because they're worried about coronavirus breaking out in the concentration camps. On the other hand, ports of entry are going to remain open to American citizens and green card holders, along with Mexicans who have documents that will let them come in, and commercial traffic will also be allowed through. And as I noted earlier, Mexico is handling this much better than we are. Mexico, which has not an insubstantial population, has 82 cases and 4 recoveries, 78 active, no deaths. And Mexico is getting ready to try to stop us going there because we are now a dirty, diseased nation.
Yeah, the goddess of irony. She needs to rest. Yeah. We'd like to have her around for a while, you know?
Yeah.
She's working overtime with this thing. Did you ever get to the bottom of that mysterious state trooper road?
No.
Road? Now, was the one case in West Virginia that's now been announced, Was that determined by the roadblock or whatever it was?
No, I don't think so. If it's
Nidia
pointed out, that it is apparently up in the eastern panhandle, and I was down in the southern part of the state.
Oh. Well, see, I really think that they ought to do a, you know, if you're going to have a crisis, make it a fun crisis. Award a prize to the first person who's pulled over, tested, and diagnosed. Give them a nice big prize, like a cruise, give them something nice, you know, a new bedroom set or, you know, a kitchen ensemble.
A new car.
That's right. Tell them what they've won, Bob. It's a new car. Jesus. Oh, God. Wait, I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'll tell you exactly what the fluorescent fuck I'm doing. I'm trying to keep abreast of the situation, but I'm limiting myself, aside from this program, to like 20 minutes when I first wake up of CNN or MSNBC or whatever. I mean, why bother with Fox? They're only going to lie to me and scare me and shit. I give my 20 minutes tithe to the information gods, and the rest of the day and evening, I luxuriate in Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO On Demand, whatever. And last night, HBO premiered a limited miniseries called The Plot Against America. Have you heard about this thing?
I have.
I hope Steve is still listening.
Based on a Philip Roth book, right?
Yeah. Philip Roth, the great American novelist who died not too long ago. But this is based sort of on his family. It's an alternate history of a chapter that never actually happened, but in my mind probably could in today's world. It's a Jewish family in, what was it, Teaneck, New Jersey, in 1940. Typical suburban Jewish family. The parents are children of immigrants, so they're second generation, like my family was. And Charles A. Lindbergh rises to the point where the Republicans push him for president because of his America First and isolationist talking points. And he becomes president, and hilarity ensues. Not, okay? But I watched this first episode Monday night on HBO, and then I found out there's a podcast that I listened to, the first episode of that, hosted by Peter Sagal, who hosts the NPR program Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. His guest was the creator of the program, David Simon, who we know from The Wire and Homicide: Life on the Street. So his bona fides are in order. But I watched the first episode. This will probably entertain us at the same time it chills us to the bone, because I'm sure they're going to tell us a story that's going to, our hair will curl out of fright and concern and wonder, you know? But anyway, Better Call Saul is unfolding nicely. It's maybe that's irresponsible. To chill out and not really pay attention, because you're not going to really miss anything in today's world. But I think we owe it to ourselves to stay as calm as we can, because the cooler heads will prevail ultimately, or at least survive, I hope. What do you think?
I'd like to think so, but how weird is it when I wind up agreeing with Joe Manchin?
Well, you know, I thought about that.
Manchin is pissed that the Senate was recessed last Thursday. He said, if we had remained in session, we could have had a head start on getting this thing passed. Instead, McConnell sent a bunch of senators whose average age is 62 off to do what they shouldn't do, flying back home on Thursday and then back again here tonight. God. And he's right. And you know, meanwhile, like I said, Louis Asparagus Gohmert held the aid package up from getting out of the house just to be a dick because he doesn't think it's real. And, you know, they're just kind of hanging out in the Senate, and McConnell's people are pissing and moaning that Amy McGrath, who's running against him, is running ads against him. Amy McGrath's decision to blanket the airways with deceitful ads, in other words, ads telling the absolute unvarnished and unfly-blown truth about Mitch McConnell, during the coronavirus outbreak is tasteless and shameful. As Kentuckerans adjust their daily lives and schedules to help them stem the outbreak, last thing they need to see on TV is negative political advertising. The McGrath campaign must stop airing all of their advertisements.
Well, I think it is time for a fucking reality check, not only in Kentucky, but in South Carolina and elsewhere in the country.
Kentucky, South Carolina, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Maine, North Carolina, yeah, Georgia. I mean, these people are
Susan Collins the other day? Did you hear the latest from Susan Collins?
I don't know. What's she disappointed about?
She had a sad, Bob. She's saying that Trump should step aside, not as president, mind you, but in terms of being the spokesperson for the administration's activities combating this thing. In other words, she said that he should step to the background and let a professional speak about the medical aspects of this thing. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just fucking wonderful? What's the toll in Maine? You know, that would make for an interesting map. A map where there are pivotal races, and I don't mean to politicize this thing, but that is a metric worth checking.
It's self-politicizing.
Well, yeah.
Maine has 32. Maine has 32 confirmed cases.
Okay.
Kentucky has 25 confirmed cases, and one has died. As David in South Carolina Stan pointed out, South Carolina has 36 confirmed cases and one death. But it is probably a much higher number than that, you know, again, because we're not testing.
Yeah.
There's a Senate seat open in Tennessee. They've got 73 confirmed cases. There's a Senate seat in play in Mississippi, 21 confirmed cases. A Senate seat open in Alabama, 36 confirmed cases. See, Alabama and West Virginia were like the last places that didn't have any, and they went from none to 36.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia?
Well,
Georgia has 146 cases, one dead. Both of their Senate seats are open. Texas, with the largest uninsured population in the United States, has 110 confirmed cases and one dead. Now, Colorado's Senate seat, Cory Gardner, is in play. Colorado has 164 confirmed and one dead. Arizona is in play, 21 cases, no death yet.
And it's the height of irresponsibility for Republican operatives, whether they're on TV or in politics or wherever in the broad landscape of American culture and life. It is the height of irresponsibility for these people to be hewing to anything other than reality-based, scientifically solid truth and bullet points, facts. It ought to be, they ought to be held, I don't know that there's a way to do it, but once this thing shakes out, there ought to be a way to prosecute people who are that irresponsible with a public position and a platform to be the utter fools that they are being. I mean, you kind of expect it from...
Reminds me of a line from Dr. Strangelove. The fools, the mad fools.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the tangerine-tinted tub of toe cheese in chief, Mr. Trump, you kind of expect him to be an inept fool. But others aren't that far gone or shouldn't be. There are a lot of them, God damn it, who know better. They do. They honest to God know better. This is their bit. This is their fucking shtick. Well, there comes a time when shtick becomes not only unhelpful, but un-American, counterproductive, non-productive, criminal, possibly. And it just traps my ass. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get all ruining dinner for people, but it just pisses me the fuck off. You know? And here we are. Here we are. I mean, we got a bunch of lone voices in various parts of the wilderness, but I don't know. Sooner or later, we're going to be drowned out by the sound of madness and fright and gunshots. I mean, bullets and ammunition sales are at an all-time high. That should tighten the old sphincter. Come on. Like when I hear Pence or one of them get up there and talk about, you know, be calm, we're on your side. Rest assured. That's the one I love. Rest assured. Well, I'm going to do a lot of things in the next 24 hours or 30 days or 6 months. But resting assured is not anywhere near the top of the fucking list. No. I don't know. Maybe today is not the day for me because to be calling in because I'm wound up like an 8-day clock about this. This is one of the reasons for my own presence of mind and preservation I'm not focusing on this to the extent that a lot of people are. Because I was already pissed off with this ass hat before any of this began unraveling, okay? So I'm like doubly pissed at this bastard and his enablers. And now you've got a DeWine, and I understand the health concerns in Ohio, but he was already shut down by a fucking judge when he tried to postpone the primary in Ohio today. And he got shot down by that, judicially speaking. So within minutes, he went to the state health officials and had them shut down the primary. That's the last I left it when I went to bed last night. What's the latest? Did we actually have primaries today?
I honest to God don't know. I know it got postponed in Ohio. Florida is still voting today. But Florida was having trouble because people didn't show up to work the polls.
Yeah, and that's critical. I used to be a poll worker in Kansas City years ago. And you literally cannot open unless there's a Democratic and a Republican, at least one of each at the poll, to greet the voters, sign them in, and give them their little I voted sticker after they voted. And usually it is older people. Anyway, go ahead. Here, let me take a sip of freshly brewed coffee to calm my troubled soul down. Wait a minute. Ah, that's good coffee.
Good cracker.
And again,
I mean, this is part of the reason that I'm as worried as I am, because I'm afraid that. Did they hesitate to send test kits to West Virginia, because we are so maggoty? Because they figured we would delude ourselves. Continue to delude ourselves into thinking there was something special about our hillbilly way of life that would protect us, or that
the hills and the hollers,
the loving arms of Trump would wrap it, would enfold us and keep it. You know, my real friend Donald Trump, Jesus, and I mean,
although
is
Jim Justice is worth listening, he is worth listening to because just looking at the man, he is familiar with pandemics. Now, unfortunately, they're pan pizza pandemics, judging by his girth. And I don't mean to fat shame or weight shame or anything, but what happened to that man? I'm sure in high school he was a slender young dude.
He was. He was a basketball player and a golfer. I think he played college golf at Marshall. I mean, I don't even know if he can get out on the course anymore. They literally roll him into, and I'm not shaming, they pull the gubernatorial limousine SUV, they back it up to the west wing of the Capitol, and trundle him in and plop him down there behind the irresolute desk.
A Jabba the Hutt sort of entrance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Governor Jim of the Hutt.
That, you know, between him and Chris Christie, I mean.
Oh, no, Chris Christie. No. Chris Christie is Jack fucking LaLanne compared.
It's a name from the past. And what was Jack LaLanne's dog's name? He had a white German Shepherd.
I don't know. But just to sort of expand on the topic, though, I've spent nearly 20 years and more broadcast time than any other human being on earth explaining what's been done to the people of Central Appalachia with mountaintop removal. And we're talking about people who have been breathing toxic ultrafine particulates for 20 years. Their lungs are already compromised as fuck. And then there's and those are just innocent citizens. They've never gotten a nickel from the coal company for having their health stolen from them. Now the coal miners, they were paid. And then when the coal miner develops black lung, the coal company moves heaven and earth to try to make sure that miner does not get compensation. And the coronavirus will, this is what is so goddamn tragic and sad. And I carry on and clown around and joke, but not about this. There is the potential in West Virginia, probably greater than a whole lot of other states, for a great dying, for this state to suffer a massive depopulation. Left and right, Democrat, Republican, old, young, male, female, and it'll be a horror. Because, among other things, in the last couple of years, with the opioid crisis, that overwhelmed, at least according to news reports I read, that overwhelmed our funeral homes. This is terrifying to ponder. You know that graph.
Well, and it's not going to get
that graph, Scott, that shows that, you know, the real mortality rate is 80 and above, and then somewhat less for 70, and somewhat less for 60. That graph does not apply to West Virginia, because we are sick in our children, we are sick in our young adults, we are sick in our middle aged, we are sick among our elderly. We are sick.
West Virginians
and thousands and thousands have no fucking health care. Now, how is that not a recipe, not just for pandemic, but for pandemic catastrophe?
Well, genocide would be a word that would come to mind.
Well, we've used that for years and years in regard to mountaintop removal, that they are practicing a slow-rolling genocide. There is a memo out there written by a lawyer for Columbia Gas years and years ago. I've seen it. I know the guy who wrote it, and I recognize his signature. And it talks about a deliberate plan to depopulate West Virginia and make it safe for the extraction industries, and just keeping enough of a skeleton population here to support the companies. You know, enough of a school system to educate the workers' kids, but not very well.
Jesus.
Enough of a healthcare system to manage the elderly while they die, and to treat the younger minimally until they do too. It is, and I'm not kidding. It's a sort of Vanze document for West Virginia. And I've seen it in action. And this is the culmination of it.
And another part of the equation, if you not pan, but if you zoom back just to a medium shot. Meanwhile, while stuff like that is going on, in dead earnest, emphasis on dead, we are people generally, the population, all of this goes on without any measurable awareness, except maybe here or there. They're like you. There are people who are aware of situations such as that. The level of our discussion are the empty toilet paper shelves. I went to Ralph's the other day. We're preoccupied with this, okay? And I hadn't been. I did what I thought was the smart thing. When it started going full tilt boogie in the news, and I read up on it, and I said, the most important thing for you to do is to not get sick and or die. So I stayed in for a good 5 days. And then finally, necessity caused my needing to get on the fucking bus, go down to Ralph's, pick up a week's worth of stuff, the responsible fucking thing to do, get back on the bus, come home, and stay in again for another week. You know? Now, was there anything at all wrong with a plan like that? No, not a bit of it. So I get on the bus, I go down to Ralph's, and I figured the toilet paper aisle would be about half empty. It was as if buzzards and fucking locusts had flown through there. Specialized toilet paper, napkin, and paper towel eating locusts had buzzed their way down the goddamn aisle number 2 of Ralph's in Hillcrest. I'm surprised they didn't even steal the sign saying limit 2 packages per customer during this rush, you know? And I said, well, holy fuck, I guess I'm not getting any paper towels today. Luckily, I didn't need TP, okay? So I browse up and down the aisle, get a thing of milk, get a thing of cottage cheese, get a thing of canned pears to put on the cottage cheese, get to the soup and vegetable aisle. Again, the locusts have gotten there before me, you know? I envisioned...
Oh, soup maybe went not, fast.
Oh, God, I was able, if I want to have a jarred mushroom, julienne canned beet, and lima bean souffle or casserole or something. Those were about my choices in the vegetable aisle, the canned item aisle section. And I get down to soup. Well, kiss that goodbye. I ended up getting a can of store brand cream of chicken, a can of store brand cream of celery. And what was the third one? Bean and bacon. Okay. So I got that. And I did get a can of lima beans because I happen to like lima beans. I wanted B&M beans because they're, for my money, they're the best canned beans on earth. But I didn't get those. I wanted some smoked sausage, like kielbasa. Fucking locusts had been there as well. And maybe they weren't locusts. Maybe they were like the winged monkeys.
No, they're panicked. They're panicked primates, Scott.
I know. But it's like, let's take a page from the early 1970s. I'm sure I lived through it, and you were younger, but you did too, I'm sure. The Arab oil embargo in 1973, where they jacked up the price of gasoline, I think it went from about 53 cents a gallon almost overnight to like 75 cents a gallon, and even more than that as time went on. The gas stations on the corner, there were lines at all of them. It was uncontrolled buying and panic. And someone instituted, if your license plate ends in an odd number, you can buy gas on an odd day.
Well, I was thinking about the gas, the Arab oil embargo of the 70s earlier, and I was, you know what, we didn't handle that very well.
But that even some kind of even odd day with your phone number, you can verify your phone number on your mobile device or your the last digit of your birth date, you know, or the month that you were born in. This day, the even numbered people get to shop, and this day, the odd number people get to shop. I mean, somebody has got to step in. Well, Ralph's, I got an email from the president of Kroger the other day saying all of our stores have curtailed hours from coast to coast, sea to shining sea.
Yes.
I think the Ralph's is 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's it. I don't know.
You just got a note from Sumon. Stop complaining, Scott. I woke up and trundled my ass over to Sprouts by 7 a.m. to find one goddamn can of garbanzo beans and two cans of tomatoes. Kroger's is offering online ordering. I suggest you order in the morning and pick up. That seems to work.
Mm.
Stay safe, guys.
Yeah, but where do they draw the orders from? Certainly not the store shelves, because they're devoid.
Yes. Well, I mean, if they don't have it, they don't have it.
Well, it blew my mind, because I figured, well, in some hard-hit areas or less refined and intelligent parts of the country, you may find people breaking bad and acting ugly and doing stupid shit, okay? But I figured in one of the most educated neighborhoods in San Diego, the Hillcrest neighborhood, which is primarily gay, so you've got income going for you, you've got education going for you, you've got progressive politics going for you, by and large, in that neighborhood. And the Ralph's is right there smack dab in the middle of it. I figured people would shop responsibly and rationally.
No.
Well, I was unhappily surprised, Bob.
Panicked primates.
Well, and it's going to get
David,
worse.
David in South Carolina stand says, Aldi delivers to my house, and they're still well-stocked.
And I pity the poor checkout people, because you got to figure they get an earful from panicked shoppers, angry shoppers, disgruntled folks, diseased folks. I mean, I don't know. If I believed in the Bible and the end times and stuff, are those hoofbeats we're hearing, horse hooves? One wonders. One truly does. I make light of it, and I kid and bitch and moan and complain, and a lot of that is for dramatic effect, comedic effect, or whatever. But I look at it, and I say, this is treachery can take place in conditions like this, and it doesn't need to get much worse before. You know, cooler heads will not prevail. And that note about the guns and ammo, all-time high type sales records, that chilled my ass. because you know the mindset of these fucking end time survivalist folks. You know,
it wasn't a joke. Earlier, when a member of the community pointed out that guns are flying off the shelves. Because people are planning on might need to be shooting some people. And that's not just West Virginia. That's everywhere.
Yeah. So
I saw a photo of a gun store in L.A. The line was around the block just to get in the door.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And, yeah, I believe in people's right to protect their property and families and stuff. But, you know, the shoot first, ask questions, or think later is not a viable thing to be, you know, popularized in times like these. And maybe I'm being Pollyanna about it, but I would like to think that this is survivable. I am less and less convinced of it. There are so many factors coming together. It's, did you ever, I'm sure you've seen It's a Mad, 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 Mad
yes,
World.
Oh yeah.
The first hour and a half of the film is the backstory of all the participants, Jimmy Durante, and the 350 G's that's hidden somewhere. And all of these Hollywood comics go on a madcap dash to a certain spot in California to find the $250,000 buried years ago from the tuna factory robbery by Jimmy Durante and his crooked friends. Well, the first hour and a half of the movie, I don't know, how long is that fucking movie? 2 hours, 15 minutes?
Every bit of it. It's a long, it's long and funny.
It is. It's a classic. But the first hour and a half is the backstories and the buildup and the chase. And then the final 40 minutes has to do with what happens once they get there. And that's all I'll say about it. But it's like, they ultimately converge at this one spot.
Yeah.
Where the money
is.
Yeah,
no spoilers. Remember, we have millennials
and
younger.
So I think of this situation, and I think of all the characters and all the conditions and all the factors and the geographical regions and the global policies and implications and stuff, and they're all coming to a convergence point. And it's what does or doesn't happen at that moment and point of convergence that's going to determine, A, if we have a future, and B, what that future is going to be like. And will it be a future, if we do survive this, will it be a future that we can live with? And maybe it's too early to have that conversation or think those kinds of thoughts, but that's just the kind of guy I am, Bob.
Well, you have a note. You have a note from GK. Now I have an idea of where Scott lives. I used to live on Campus Avenue, and shopped at that Ralph's all the time.
Oh yeah.
Could you ask Scott where he lives near Hillcrest? I always enjoy his calls. I had him figured for the OB area before.
If you know where El Cajon Boulevard is, and you know where 30th Street is, and the Carl's Jr. and the Lips.
Don't give too much detail. Remember, right wing turds listen to this program too.
Yeah, I know, but first they've got to find me out, and I have a very interesting schedule. I don't even know when I'm going out. But anyway, I'm in North Park actually. Hillcrest is like one neighborhood down and one neighborhood over, but it's easy to get there on the bus.
Yeah,
so
well,
where is Shay now? Where on the planet?
GK.
I mean, ha. Huh? G.
Yeah. G.
G what?
GK. Yeah.
I don't know what GK means.
GK is who asked you that question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was okay. Well, maybe if he or she is in Ralph's next time, you know, will, our shopping carts will bump.
Not
in a nice way, you know.
I think maybe I'm wrong. I think GK's in Minnesota. So you're probably not going to bump.
Oh, well, there's plenty of people to bump into today. And see, that's the other thing. I'm waiting. I'm surprised there haven't been reports, and maybe there are, have been, and I've missed them, of fist fights breaking out over food items and shit.
That one video that that Flavio referenced about the Australian description of the munted shit show.
Oh, okay.
It features video of Australians going ape shit in the grocery store.
And a man was beaten to death by a disgruntled shopper with the last Lego lamb in the little homage to Alfred Hitchcock Presents. If you know the Lego lamb episode.
In fact, I'll run the audio real quick. Stand by.
Hello, I'm from the government with an urgent message about the...
Oops.
Coronavirus. We know many of you are confused. Some say it's no big deal. Italians are freaking out. The Chinese are hiding out. And Aussies seem to think the virus attacks your butthole. Medical experts have coined a scientific term to describe the situation we're now facing, a shit show. It's important to note that the shit show isn't caused by the virus itself, which we can manage, but rather by dangerous levels of egregious dumbfuckery spreading about the virus. Through forensic analysis, experts have traced the path of the dumbfuckery back to this malignant shit funnel, who said he's not Victor worried Trump. About corona since it's no worse than the flu. One of the symptoms of dumbfuckery includes not understanding simple math, leading many to laugh off this virus for only having a death rate of about 2%. Since experts say the US alone could have 96 million cases, 2% of that comes to approximately a lot of fucking dead people. Of course, the death rate is much higher among older people. This has been largely dismissed due to another symptom of dumbfuckery, not caring about the elderly, or as experts call it, being an asshole. If left unchecked, this shit show can drastically worsen the impact of coronavirus by overwhelming a country's healthcare services. For example, the US only has 1 million hospital beds. Oh, and face masks will probably run out too. So as doctors and nurses get infected, there could also be a shortage of them. When you combine all that with a government that has no regard for science, a vastly uninsured workforce without sick leave, and millions of guns, you get what experts call a munted shit show. To avoid a munted shit show in your country, experts are now advising governments worldwide to be the exact opposite of America. If you're not already infected by dumbfuckery, we ask you to spread this graph among your friends and family. Instead of bullshit memes, it shows how by flattening the contagion curve, we can slow down the spread of the virus so our hospitals and carers can cope. You can help flatten the curve by practicing hand hygiene, avoiding large gatherings, and phoning your doctor if you develop symptoms. Delaying the spread even by a month could prevent thousands of deaths, and not just corona deaths. It also means fewer deaths due to any emergencies requiring hospital care, which could mean you or your loved ones. And remember, if you do run out of toilet paper, Rupert Murdoch produces a wide range of bog roll replacements worldwide. This has been a message from your local government franchise. Goodbye. Responding to global emergencies when they threaten the stock market.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, that calmed me down.
The images in it are wonderful, and especially the line, and millions of guns, and some bubba carrying an American flag in one hand and a rifle in the other is running across the field. Woo! Bang! Yeah. And why? Because these are the kinds of questions that matter to the Horn Family Community Congregation. And why is Scott drinking coffee after 6 p.m.? Unless that's decaf, that's bad for you.
The audio blanked out. Something is bad for me? Did they say decaf?
Unless you're drinking decaf, that post 6 p.m. coffee... Well, it's not post 6 p.m. coffee for you because it's what, 4:24 for you.
No, it's for 4:24, and I don't go to bed at 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. I've gotten people on Facebook at the oddest hours who have private messaged me and said, when the fuck do you sleep? You know, in the dead of night. Because I have a lot of East Coast and Midwest friends. I go by natural rhythms. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm sleepy, I sleep. If my nose itches, I scratch it and then wash repeatedly. It's like I don't have any set routine except on those days when I have like a doctor's appointment or something like that and I've got to get with the program. But otherwise, I just kind of roll with the flow. Plus, I'm with the I'm back into the spring forward, fall back. Well, we're at the spring forward portion of the show. So for the first 2 weeks after spring forward, my sleep is and cycles are fucked up anyway. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I drink. I'm not going to be going to bed for hours, you know. So I usually limit myself to two little pots of coffee a day from the time I wake up until both have been consumed. And that's how I roll, baby.
By the way, they're voting in Illinois, Arizona, and Florida. Suman says, my wife and I just voted. Polls seem to be working well. The staff are practicing social distancing and wearing gloves. Y'all must live in an intelligent part of Arizona.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah, because, well, you know, the maggots are probably, well, the maggots don't have to worry. Well, I mean, there's down ballot stuff, but, you know, they probably lick their ballots.
See, I don't like it. When I first started voting, we had those East Coast voting machines where you flip the little lever and my favorite part was the curtain. There was this big-ass red-handled lever in the voting booth. And when you walked in, you would flip it one way. I mean, you got to pull that sucker. If you're an elderly person, I don't know how they manage the curtain close lever. But you that thing off to the right. It closes the curtains behind you. You flick all of your voting switches. And then once you're finished, you grab that red-handled lever and urge it over to the other side where it clears the board, registers your vote, hopefully, and reopens the curtain for the next voter to come in. There was just something old school and analog and mechanical about that thing. But in today's world, we don't know what those MAGA hat-wearing fools are doing behind those curtains. What goes on in there? Are they licking stuff?
Probably.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, let me move
sniffing,
on and let you
sniffing,
go there.
And, yeah.
And let somebody else come in.
I mean, it's getting weird out there. Arnold up in PA says, my personal assistant got in a fight in Wegmans because someone hit me. Yeah. So.
Sorry. I think it bears watching. The situation bears watching, Bob. And I would like to think that I live in a part of the world, part of the country anyway, that is, you know, somewhat elevated above some of this madness. But then again, I looked at the store shelves and panic, after all, Bob, is panic. And if we add an echo to my, we're all screwed, Bob, you'll know it's getting serious. You know, the warning light should be flashing pretty soon. So on that happy note,
yeah, I understand.
I will bid you adieu and take my leave.
And probably go and make another cup of coffee.
We'll see. Yes. Well, I think I finished off the second. It's got about two Scott-sized cups. It says on the box it's a four-cup coffee maker, but that's not fooling anybody at my house. I don't use these little wimpy little boy, little girl tea set.
Demi-tosses.
Toy cups. Play cups. I got my, you would like this. Maybe I'll take a picture and send it to you. It's a picture of Daffy Duck holding a shotgun, staring angrily into a mirror, and some of his butt feathers have been taken away by a gunshot, and there's smoke coming off of it. And it's a Warner Brothers coffee mug my former sister-in-law gave me 1 year for my birthday, and it's for Gemini. And what it says is incredibly quick-witted, with boundless energy, capable of great antics, mischievousness. Geminis sometimes get carried away with their own improv, causing unnerving results. Yeah, that's me. By God, that's me. So I'm waving from the back of the train, like Raymond Massey as Lincoln during the campaign speech to you and the Horn family, Bob. Bye. Bye, Mr. Lincoln.
Shane, come back, Shane. We'll see you, Scott.
Have yourself a good day, Bob. You and the family and the rest of the Horn congregation.
I'm darn
keep
too.
Your sunny side up.
Yeah, and the dirty side down. Yep. You take care, Scott. Later.
Our buddy Scott calling from the greater San Diego area. I've got a list in front of me here. Via Twitter. It was compiled by Writers with Cats. And it, let's see here. Well, let's go to the stress line instead.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to the program.
How's it going?
Good. What's up, Flavio?
Well, no, I just wanted to stress again that the problem that Italy is facing is the anti-science bullshit that tsunami that the right wing propels propagates on the airwaves. And I'm getting a horrible echo again.
Nobody else is, though, so you just keep talking.
Okay, so basically, Salvini was seen with his wife in a shopping center and everything. This was, I think, Saturday or Friday or whatever.
Salvini being you the know, Italian this, prime minister.
He's not the prime minister right now. Giuseppe Conte is,
yeah,
and the
right.
president is Sergio Mattarella. But he's like a deputy in the parliament now, and he's candidating himself for the election. But anyway, so he's spreading lies just like Trump, saying it's a hoax. It's, deep state bullshit, you know, and everyone saw videos of people when the first quarter of the country was quarantined, Lombardy, Veneto, and, you know, the people fleeing in the metro and instead of staying home, you know, it stayed in place. Fleeing back to the south, you know, and then finally they decided to declare the entire country a red zone. And that was a smart thing to do, but they're learning by the seat of their pants, and they're not getting any help from people like Salvini, is what I'm trying to say. Because they're repeating the Trumpian lies, and, yeah, I mean, Steve Bannon was over there, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know, encouraging this shit. And, you know, the Italians have given us so many brilliant scientists, you know, from Da Vinci to Marconi. The Italian patrimony to science and, you know, and Leonardo Da Vinci, it moves, you know. So this is why I'm calling in, just to revindicate the Italians. They're not like this, but their media after Berlusconi and videocracy and the mass mediafication of Italy and the foxification of Italy is actually that's what happened in Italy, just like it happened in the United States. Berlusconi, Rupert Murdoch. And one more thing, that video from Australia by the Juice Media, which, full circle, was produced by an Italo-Australian, Giordano Nannini, of the Juice Media. The Australians are also having to deal with a fascist government, that of Scott Morrison. You might want to comment on that.
Oh, no, he's a right-wing POS. No doubt about it. Hold on, I got to reconnect you. Now you are.
Yeah, and he's a religious...
maniac.
Are you there?
Yeah, he's a religious maniac.
Here's
the state of affairs in Australia. Robert just wrote a little bit ago. The Prime Minister has been tested for COVID-19 and passed. Our churches remain open. A ban on sporting codes to make their own decisions about spectators. A ban on non-essential gatherings of 100 people or more indoors. Not sure what non-essential means, Robert says. Edit, public transport has been classified as essential. The PM says we need to keep Australia working. The PM tells Australians not to travel overseas. This is all sounding like the battle you have when you're not having a battle. Apparently, we've completed 80,000 COVID-19 tests so far. Lucky Tom Hanks and wife. The Prime Minister has been tested for it and passed. And estimations are that all this will continue for at least 6 months.
Oh, yeah. La Crosse, Wisconsin, has all the bank lobbies are closed, so you have to go through the drive-through. I got an email from my bank that says that I can walk up to the drive-through near the window. Just make sure to watch for cars. And you know that I...
Yeah, not getting run over is really the key to the...
it's important for me because I'm blind, but, you know, it's important. But I got to watch out for hurried people. Lots of hurried people.
Hurried, scared people. Petrified primates.
Petrified primates, peepees, dicks, in other words.
Precisely. Well played.
And I went to the supermarket yesterday, and I saw the ravages at the aisles of the Festival of Foods, which is a Scogan's affiliate in Wisconsin. Scogan's out of Minnesota. Aisles empty, and you know. And I thought I was going to get some food, and I guess I did. I was able to grab some rice and beans because it was too far back, and I got a few bags because it was ensconced in the shelf. Too far back. I'm like, I can't believe this. I mean,
I guess I have a scheduled repair on my car tomorrow, and I guess I'll go ahead and go to it. I assume my mechanic's going to be open. Not happy about it, but can't be avoided.
No, and eventually I have to do my taxes with somebody, but. That I've been doing for the past 10 years. Yeah, but kudos to the wonderful, indefatigable people of the United States Postal Service, and the retail personnel at the Festival Foods and the People's Food Co-op and people that go out every day and deal with assholes. They are soldiering on. I'm taking care not to go out unnecessarily and I've got enough books in my apartment. If I need to go to the storage on the north side where I keep my books because I can't fit them all into my apartment, I can go and walk over there. It's not too far away. And, I'm keeping busy. But a kudos, a shout out to all the retail people out there that have to deal with the Fox News crowd, the people that are influenced by, the fearmongers and the anti-science people. I know the young people aren't like that. The young people are really hip on science, and they're not. I mean, do you feel the same way?
I hope so. Of course,
yeah, I hope
you,
so.
I don't think you can make blanket statements about any particular demographic.
No, you can't. That's true. But I just wanted to give a shout out to the retail people and the healthcare professionals who are having to deal with the stupidity, and hopefully, something good will come out of this. There is a Spanish saying, no hay mal que por bien no venga. There's no ill that for good doth not come. In other words, there's always a silver lining in a cloud. And something good will come out of this. And hopefully it will be universal health care. I don't know if you saw
It would be nice if we could learn enough from this to stop having wet markets and stop selling wild animals.
Well, but apart from that, it would be nice also if we became as a world more united, more concentrated on the common good.
Yeah, I think that's that reset button that Scott was talking about last week. I'm not optimistic.
I am holding on to that. I think it is possible. I think I have said that a world without grasping avarice and hoarding is possible and desirable. And I think that this trial of all our souls will bring out the worst in us and the best in us, and hopefully the best in us will prevail. I mean, that's what I'm betting on. And
a lot of it has to do with how long that walking human virus, that galumphing human virus, remains in the
White House. Malignant shit funnel.
Yes, the malignant shit funnel.
Yeah, they need to get rid of him. I mean, get rid of him through an election. you know, and basically they need to get rid of McConnell, too, because McConnell is the architect behind this. You know, we always talk about it, eminence grise. I was going to say it in English, a gray eminence. No, I meant,
no, let's say it in French. I know eminence grise.
Like Cardinal Le Richelieu.
Yep.
You know, the intrigue, wasn't he the cardinal that was in Louis XIV's court or something?
I believe, yes.
Like the intriguer, the influencer of his time.
Exactly.
And we need to get rid of that guy. Above all,
yeah, Richelieu,
without that
Richelieu,
guy,
Metternich,
without that guy, Trump would not be available.
But remember, McConnell. Remember,
McConnell is the.
Remember, Flavio, there are 33% of this country that are just happy as can be with the way things have been going till now.
Because they haven't borne the brunt of it.
And they're
they're
convinced that this pandemic is a vast conspiracy to make him look bad.
But they will. They are already coming around to it, I think, from what I've been seeing, and it will become more apparent as time goes on that, you know, that McConnell is a huckster and pretty much all of the Republicans in this Senate are hucksters. It'll take some time. Things, you know, I'm of the belief that perhaps things will reach a nadir before they look up again.
By the way,
whatever you did, it no more echo. Very nice.
I didn't do a damn thing. It just
It just stopped.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's still the delay, which is not bad, but wow, it's hard talking over an echo.
I know.
Your own, you know. Like when you're speaking and there's an echo, you have to like hold the phone back and say what you want to say.
Right, I understand, but it is not going over the air. So, you know, it's just telephony.
Kudos again to all the people that have to work in retail. I saw it yesterday when I ventured out just to get some really simple things. And they're really dealing with really some stupid people, you know?
Yeah, they are.
Well, I did ask you a question. I did email you. Why aren't, and maybe it's because they're afraid, but why aren't grocers, don't grocers have the right to enforce per customer limits?
Sure.
Or they're afraid of somebody pulling a gun and saying, fuck you.
Well, I don't know that there's that much hoarding going on. I think it's just everybody having the same idea at the same time.
No. There is that much hoarding going on.
I mean, I haven't seen.
There is profiteering going on.
Oh, I know that. I saw that dickhead in it was written about in the New York Times.
New York Times, and it was republished by the LA Times. No, that's going on. You can bet on it. There are people that are leveraging. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
This for their own personal gain. And they justify it for all manner of reasons.
You know, I'll have to. Agnes browses the Facebook Marketplace. Might be interesting to check on there and see if there's anybody going, I got your toilet paper right here.
Say that again.
Let's see if there's anybody black marketing toilet paper on the Facebook Marketplace.
No, it's not like that, but it's with hand sanitizer, frozen foods, eBay, Amazon.
Yeah, you know what?
And eBay. And what's interesting is that eBay and Amazon are taking. And again, let's give praise where praise is due. At least Amazon and eBay are flagging those operations and telling those people don't do that. But yeah, people have been going on eBay and Amazon trying to sell.
Well, sure, because capitalism.
Frozen pocket. You know?
Yeah, because capitalism.
Because. But you gotta. Kudos to. Well. I guess the word is not kudos. Maybe thanks. To Amazon and eBay for at least being proactive in flagging these gouging operations belatedly.
Yeah, and by the way, another reason that Trump is losing his mind, what's left of it, is
he's scared shitless.
Yeah, well, he's got a boatload of debt with, among other places, Deutsche Bank. And Deutsche Bank has lost 43% of its value as of, you know, like yesterday. Hey, Fabio, I've lost the ability to bring you into the I've lost the Bluetooth on you. So we will talk soon. All right. You take care. I hate it when that happens. Now, Deutsche Bank is down 43%. And if Nitwit Nero can't service his debt on all of his trashy properties, it may wipe Deutsche Bank out. I know. But as we move toward the end of the program, and by the way, thanks to Anatole. Thank you very kindly, Anatole. We are now down to $370 to catch up even with the week. Hallelujah, though. Thank you. We finished last week. We're $30 into yesterday and still have today to deal with. So we'll just cross fingers and hope, you know, and this program will stay on as long as we can. But I wanted to mention something on the way out, because this is valuable. It was put together by an account called Writers with Cats, Scribes Unlimited Publishing. And they wrote, for the record, no one is blaming Trump for the virus. Let me repeat, coronavirus is not Trump's fault. Here's a detailed list of what we should be blaming him for. He declined to use the World Health Organization's test, like other nations. Back in January, over a month before the first COVID-19 case in the U.S., the Chinese posted a new mysterious virus, and within a week, Berlin virologists had produced the first diagnostic test. By the end of February, the WHO had shipped out tests to 60 countries, except for the United States. We declined the test even as a temporary bridge until the CDC could create its own test. The question is why. We don't know, but what to look for is which pharmaceutical company eventually manufactures the test and who owns the stock. In 2018, Trump fired Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert, whose job was to coordinate a response to global pandemics. He was not replaced. In 2018, Dr. Luciana Borio, the NSC Director for Medical and Biodefense Preparedness, left the job. Trump did not replace Dr. Borio. In 2019, the NSC Senior Director for Global Health Security and Biodefense, Tim Zimmer, left the position, and Trump did not replace the Rear Admiral. Trump shut down the entire Global Health Security and Biodefense Agency. Yes, he did. He never opened it again. Amid the explosive worldwide outbreak of the virus, Trump proposed a 19% cut to the budget of the CDC, plus a 10% cut to public health services, and a 7% cut to global health services. Those happen to be the organizations that respond to public health threats. Trump didn't appoint a doctor to oversee the U.S. response to the pandemic. He appointed Mike freaking Pence. He's multiple times sowed doubt about the severity of the virus, even using the word hoax at rallies. He has pulled out zero. He has put out zero useful info concerning health risks. Trump pretended the virus had been contained on many occasions, hinting a few cases and not to worry about. Trump left a cruise ship at sea for days, denying them proper hospital care rather than increase his numbers in America. Repeat, we do not blame Trump for the virus. We blame him for gutting the nation's preparations to deal with it, bungling testing, allowing it to spread uninhibited, wasting taxpayer money on applause lines at his rallies, and putting his own political life over American lives. It's a hell of a list. And along the way, you've got Deborah Birx, who is out there telling outright lies now. Demonstrable falsehoods. At a briefing, Birx said that we didn't take the World Health Organization tests because they were faulty. As Yamiche Alcindor reported, she said the U.S. was slower at getting testing because they were focused on quality. She says other tests used in other countries resulted in false positive and false negatives regarding coronavirus. That is the exact opposite of the truth. It's the CDC's tests that came out with false positives that were faulty, that didn't have the proper reagents in them. There is no reported problem with the World Health Organization tests, but anybody who is willing to work for Donald Trump eventually has to lie for Donald Trump. And I guess we can expect more of the same, but when the coordinator, so-called coordinator, is out there lying about why we weren't testing, it's not encouraging. And by the way, Moscow Mitch McTurtle, he said he's going to pass the relief bill in the Senate at warp speed. That didn't work out so well, because he'd no sooner said that than Rand Paul, because of course, Rand Paul, who learned nothing from his neighbor, from the lesson that his neighbor attempted to teach him, Rand Paul is holding up the coronavirus. This becomes frightening. More frightening. Because eventually somebody's going to get tired of this. And that will be a horror. But as Mrs. Greenspan, Andrea Mitchell, reported, this afternoon, McConnell said Senate would move at warp speed to approve the House coronavirus aid package. Tonight, the Senate can't vote because of objections from Rand Paul. Damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it. And so once again, the senators for a distinct minority of the country are holding back life-saving critical funding. Jesus. And so back tomorrow. Thank you very kindly, Yuki and Steve, and Anatole, and John, and Lady B. Thank you all very kindly for helping out this evening. Tomorrow we will be at 570. And we'll keep the bills paid as long as we can. On the way out the door, I will note that this, I'm not in panic mode, but I am worried for the reasons that I set forward. My beloved wife is in an at-risk group. She's immunocompromised. I'm at risk, as are so many thousands, a million or more of the 1.7 million in West Virginia, a million or more people are in elevated risk categories. And the fact that that evil bastard said that Jim Justice was doing a better job at protecting West Virginia, it's ugly, it's vulgar, it's vicious, and it's cruel. So, wish me luck with the repairs tomorrow. And I don't see any reason I shouldn't be back in time to be on the air for prayer meeting Wednesday. At least we don't have to worry about that spreading the virus. A lot of other churches we do, though. Thanks to all of you who helped keep the program on the air through your subscriptions at Patreon, at PayPal, and your a la carte contributions. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, first primary projection of the evening, it'll be Biden in Florida. That's not really a surprise. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.